Allie, there's two things that I hope to be alive long enough to see.
Yeah.
I always think about this. You're so lucky. Whenever you're alive is technologically the most advanced time in the world.
Sure.
And I get sad thinking about the things that haven't been invented yet that won't be invented in my lifetime. Like, the world's going to be very different 500 years from now. They're going to be able to do amazing things with medicine and science and robots and everything else. In my lifetime, I want to see two things happen. Mm-hmm. One is jetpacks.
Okay.
We've been hearing about jetpacks since my parents were little. We've been hearing that jetpacks were right around the corner. Where's my goddamn jetpack? That's thing one.
Okay.
Thing two is, obviously, robot sex. Oh, now, look, geez. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking creepy. Why is it creepy?
Because that's what you want most. Let's be honest. You would forego all human contact if it could only be a robot.
But what's to not like about robot sex? Look, it's a natural progression to go from blow-up dolls to real dolls to now robots that look like humans.
Okay.
I mean, it's legal. It's consensual. It might put a damper on sex slaves. You might not have that anymore. To me, there's no downside to robot sex.
It sure might put a damper on sex slaves.
Right, because you won't need as many women. You won't need to kidnap women.
Sex trafficking.
Yeah, trafficking.
Okay, got it. Okay, right. Might put a damper on that.
I'm not talking about my sex slaves. Okay. I'm still going to keep those.
Okay. Right?
That's my own business. What I'm saying is sex robots, robot brothels. Now more and more reports are coming out talking about how this is the wave of the future, and it's only a matter of time. Is it going to be first in England? Is it going to be in Amsterdam? Is it going to be Thailand? Where is the first robot brothel going to be? We asked Dave if you could find somebody on the leading edge of this process, and he has lined us up with Mr. Nigel McManus. He is in the process of trying to get the first robot brothel started in his area. Mr. McManus, welcome to the show, sir.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
What on earth is going on behind you?
Well, we're here in the workshop. We are building our robot sex workers
in
the attempt to, once again, progress, as you mentioned, forward in the world of sex for pay. And we're trying to build the UK's first sex robot brothel. And
okay.
So we are currently in works developing our girls now and getting everything in readiness.
Now, from what I understand, physically, the girls look great, but you're trying to work on the artificial intelligence to have them be more naturally responsive to human contact.
Yes, in terms of the actual robotics, everything is quite in place. Mm-hmm. But it's a matter of developing the software, the AI system, which can either be connected to one of our robot girls or have it be experienced in a virtual reality environment where you'll be wearing some sort of headgear and you'll be enacting with your fantasies, but seeing them come to life virtually in front of your eyes.
I mean, robots are awesome.
Yes, they are.
Girls are awesome.
Girls are amazing, and robot girls are twice as good.
Yeah, you put two great tastes that taste great together, right?
Well, I wouldn't taste them. They don't taste as good as regular girls.
Okay, all right.
But
that's a good tip.
I heard they taste like chicken, actually.
Okay. Now, you said they're two times better than real
twice
women. How is that?
Well, here's the thing. We have an enormous audience for this type of brothel.
Okay.
There's a tremendous untapped pool here in the UK of incredibly lonely, creepy men.
Okay. Well, I don't think that we need to characterize them as lonely or creepy.
They're spectacularly creepy.
They're just looking for options, is all.
And enormously lonely. And the fact is, I mean, and it's not well publicized, but there are many men who women will just have nothing whatsoever to do with.
Oh, okay.
Either because they have an affection for the post office, or they like to go to Denny's, or IHOP on a regular basis, or they live on an island. Perhaps.
Wait a second.
Oh, this does sound creepy.
There are some men who just have no chance of having any sort of actual sex with a real live.
I feel like this is getting personal, Mr. McManus.
And so in order to service that audience, that consumer who's not being taken care of, we believe these brothels will be enormously popular with people who have, pictures of a nude O.J. Simpson hanging in their home.
Oh. How do you know so much about
perhaps
Nigel?
Someone has collected the art of John Wayne Gacy. I mean, let's face it, aren't we as a society better off putting these weirdos with robots in a room than letting them walk around and interact with
them. You are making perfect sense, Nigel.
Okay. I don't think we're talking about
it. And it's important to realize that we can also develop a girl, a robot girl, who will never react to someone heavily breathing into their face. That noise that would bother a real live woman
would not
in any way be registered with one of my robot creations. It's
I thought this was about science.
It's about the science of creepy people
and
how we can better serve creepy people who have a lot of money for jetpacks and robots.
Well, perhaps I'm going to take my money elsewhere, Mr. McManus. How do you like me now?
Well, you won't be spending it on any real women. I know that sometimes.
You could be right about that, too. Don't forget, keep on listening for your choice here on the Pick a Ticket Week on K-Rock to go see Coldplay at the Rose Bowl or Guns N' Roses at Dodger Stadium. Javier Ramirez chose the Coldplay, your chance to win, coming up. And, of course, keep listening for your chance to win tickets for our Breakfast with Sting as well.
So monkeys are dicks, right?
You know what? I'm going to tell you that there are, I think, a lot of stories about people who have monkeys that end up doing dickish things. I don't think all monkeys are dicks. I think a lot of them are.
Okay.
A lot of thought into it.
It really has a lot of thought.
What's the percentage? Where would you put the percentage at, Bean?
Look, in general, I'm not saying that you can paint all monkeys with a broad brush.
Oh, you're worried about offending the good monkeys.
No, I'm just trying to be accurate here. I think there are a lot of monkeys who are probably delightful. But the ones that make the news are the ones who do dickish things, and that's what we're talking about here today.
The one that we mentioned yesterday was the video of the family that was going to see. I think in this particular case it was a baboon.
Mm-hmm.
I know because I put gorilla and I got it corrected 7,000 times on Twitter. And he just basically poops in his hand and throws it at her and hits dad, hits the little girl. Pretty good shot. Pretty good accuracy.
Ow.
This is a family outing at a place called Tiger World in Rockwell, North Carolina. Almost in North Dakota there for some reason. And you see the family watching this, what did you say it was?
A baboon.
A baboon. Okay, they're watching this baboon, and they're not antagonizing it at all. It looks to me like they're about 20 feet away or so, but for whatever reason, the little girl apparently locks eyes with the baboon, and the baboon takes that as some sort of personal offense. And that's what they do, is they just pick up a fresh scoop of poop and just throw it right through the bars. And you can see it goes all over the girl's face.
Oh.
She's not thrilled with that.
She is not delighted.
Really?
In fact, we'd have brought the audio.
It's not her favorite thing.
It's hard to hear, but the little girl, who looks to me like she's about, I don't know, what is she, Kevin, 6 or 7 maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
She says, I hate this place. Which I guess you would understand if you just got hit with a face for the poop from a baboon. And it also went all over the dad's shirt, too.
Dad thought it was funny.
He was laughing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is one example of a ape / baboon / chimpanzee / monkey doing a dickish thing. We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. If you have any experience with monkeys being dicks, we want to hear from you. And I don't doubt, by the way, that we're going to get calls from people who have traveled in a lot of places in the world where monkeys kind of roam free. I see stories all the time about them robbing people and biting people and chasing people. And,
right?
You know, I mean, why are you laughing, Allie?
I'm picturing a little monkey just pickpocketing you. I think that's adorable.
And then checking the time and going about his business.
So 1-800-520-1067. If you got any stories to add to monkeys are dicks.
Now, Allie has something to add to this because a monkey pooped on her.
Multiple times.
Multiple times.
Because you kept going back for more?
Well, because then the trainer would take the monkey. I was doing a segment at the zoo, and little capuchin monkey, I guess it would be.
Oh, those are the cutest.
They are. And he was playing with my hair and then standing on my head. And when he was standing on my head is when the first poop happened and just dribbled down onto my shoulder. And the trainer got the monkey away and said, I'm so sorry. He had just eaten. And I said, well, that would have been nice to know. Puts the monkey back up and did it again.
Did it again.
Yeah, and then did it to my cameraman as well. So that monkey wanted to poop on us real bad. It was a good time.
Did the trainer high-five him later?
I think she was secretly pleased. Who wouldn't be?
And one more before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And this just happened Sunday night. This is in Lancaster, Ohio. A pet monkey apparently got out. The owner's in the store. The pet monkey somehow escapes from a recreational vehicle. This lady had her monkey in the vehicle, went into the store. The pet monkey gets out. A man comes near the monkey, The monkey is jumping from a metal railing and grabbing him by the arm and clothing. So the monkey is attacking the man now in the parking lot at the Walmart. Oh, monkey, no. By the way, is wearing a diaper, so there's no poop possibility here, which is great.
It's a shame.
And you can see in the video, a woman runs up to the person being attacked and says, "Let him go, let him go. If he bites you, they will put him down," which I guess would be a very real concern that he would be considered a threat to the public.
I feel like that's not her first somebody. Concern at that point.
Oh. It probably is her first concern at that point. I think she probably cares a lot about her pet monkey, I would think.
No, I'm saying the woman that's getting attacked.
No, it's a man who's getting attacked.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He
doesn't care about that. He wants the monkey to stop attacking.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, a 911 caller told the emergency operator that the Walmart worker had been bitten, but the police determined that the animal had only grabbed the man and that he was unharmed, so no report was filed and the monkey is going to be fine. But this is a monkey just minding his own business in an RV, and all of a sudden he goes, "Hey, what am I doing here? I'm going to break out. I'm going to jump a dude."
Well, monkeys shouldn't be pets, first of all.
Monkeys are dicks. Well, that's very possible. Although for years I tried to talk Kevin into getting a monkey.
Because I love monkeys.
Because you do love monkeys. Because I thought it would be awesome.
But then once you start looking into it, they're horrible pets. They're not good. You know why? Dicks.
Because monkeys are dicks.
That's right.
All right. Let's try. We got a good batch of calls here. Let's start with Melissa. How about that? In Anaheim on line 5, please. Melissa, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. You agree monkeys are dicks?
Yes, they're awful.
And you know because?
When I was working at a petting zoo a couple years ago, they had a squirrel monkey there, and he used to go Hannibal Lecter on all the girls that would work there.
Wait, only on the girls?
Only on the girls. Well, there was only really girls working there,
oh, okay.
But anytime he saw a man, he didn't care. He would basically wait for them to pass by, and then you could see him, like, doing something, and then he would throw semen. Their sperm.
I was not ready.
Really?
What? What?
Yeah. Early in the morning, that's what he would do every day. He used to eat candies that had, like, little bugs in it, and he was just disgusting. And he was the only monkey at the zoo, and he did that to every woman that walked by.
Oh my God.
So this monkey, not to get too detailed here, Melissa, but this monkey would pleasure himself and then hold on to it and then wait and look for somebody to throw it at?
He would wait to finish pleasuring himself for them to be walking by.
Okay.
As accurately as possible.
That is unbelievable.
Oh my God.
Were you hot?
Kevin!
Yeah.
I mean, they do say monkeys are 99% the same DNA as humans, so maybe so. Okay. I don't know.
Right? I'm saying Melissa was hot.
Come on.
And the monkey would wait. The monkey would wait every day. How do you know? No.
We don't wish that on anyone. How dare you? All right, Melissa. Thank you for calling. We'll take a quick break. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on monkeys are dicks. Next on K-Rock.
Why do you have a monkey? It's an animal that looks like a dude. Why don't I have 10 of them?
That's a great question right there. 1-800-520-1067. The topic this morning is that monkeys are dicks. What has your experience been? There's been a couple of stories in the news lately where that has been the case, including the little girl at the zoo who had a gorilla throw poop out of the other day. That's just one example. And then how about Melissa's call a minute ago?
I don't ever want to talk about it.
That's
if
scarring.
If you were wondering if there's something worse a monkey can throw at you than poop, there is. Let's try line 2, please. Jordan, Redondo Beach, up first in this segment. Steven, you hang on. We'll get to you right after this.
Hey, Jordan.
Hello. Hi.
Monkeys are dicks.
Yes. So my wife and I were vacationing in Bali, and we went to the monkey forest one day. We walked through the gate, and there's all these signs, do not feed the monkeys, all these warnings about the monkeys. And right in the gate, all the locals have big, long sticks. And we're going, oh, that's
go
interesting.
On.
And there's a banana stand to buy and feed the monkeys.
Okay. It's not a sexy thing. He's telling a story about buying bananas.
The locals have big, long sticks.
Big, long sticks?
Yeah.
Okay. Let Jordan tell the story here.
All right.
I want to find out what happened.
Sorry.
Right.
Go ahead.
All right. So my wife says, it's the stand surrounded by cute little baby monkeys. She goes, let's feed the monkey. Okay. I buy like.
Okay, again.
She said, let's feed the monkey.
Right. It's not a euphemism. They're in Bali and they're feeding actual monkeys.
How do you know?
Let him tell the story.
All right.
I take 3 steps away from the stand and out of the jungle charges this full-size male monkey right towards me and runs up to me, climbs up my body, and is, like, face-to-face with me. going after the banana.
He's going after the banana. It's an actual right? banana, Kevin. It's fruit.
It's not a euphemism for penis. No. He's talking about... So, wait a minute. So, this monkey was trying to steal the bananas that you bought from you?
Yes. Large bananas. Extra large.
Extra large bananas, right.
But you were buying the bananas to feed the monkeys anyway, right?
Yeah. You, third world countries, they don't really... they're not looking out for your best interest all the time.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate
it. So he got bullied by a monkey.
He did, yes.
Bad.
Let's try Stephen and Lomita, please, up next, line 8.
All right. Hi, Stephen. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey.
Hi.
So I was in Costa Rica with a couple friends and my girlfriend, and we were on the beach, and pretty secluded beach, and we go and hide our backpacks on the beach, and all of a sudden we look, and a swarm of white-faced monkeys is staring at us in the water. They proceed to climb down into the onto the beach, open up our backpacks, figure out the zipper, take everything out. As we're running after them, I look, and one monkey has my passport in the tree.
No!
Wow!
That's kind of awesome and terrifying.
And, yeah, so what we think, because they ended up taking the sunscreen and eating all the sunscreen.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
They must, because of the scent or something, they must think it smells good. But, yeah, the monkey had my tree in the passport. My passport in the tree.
Did you ever get it back?
Or did the monkey fly to your house and take over your life?
Yeah, exactly. I wish he did. I'm on my way to work right now. yeah, I ended up dropping it after about 30 minutes, thank God, or else I would have been stranded.
Wow.
That's the worst place to get stranded, but...
That is crazy, though. Wow. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try... let's go to Zimbabwe. At least that's where Nick's story happened. He's in L.A. on line 3.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, so I was in Zimbabwe, Victoria Falls with my family, and, you know, they warn you about the monkeys. They say, like, closing the doors isn't enough. You have to lock it up. And I'm out on the balcony in the morning, and I look over to the balcony just adjacent to mine, and I see monkeys going in and out of this guy's room, coming out with a bunch of, like, just all types of stuff. Like, they would take these sugar packets, and they would very neatly open them up into, like, a little corner, and they would shovel them into their mouths. And I see the guy run out, and he's chasing all these monkeys out of his room. And but one of the monkeys has his cell phone, so I point to it, and I'm like, yo, that guy has your cell phone. And so he's like, what the hell? So he starts, like, you know, clapping, telling him to give it back.
Maybe he was calling his monkey friend to find out if he was able to seal a passport for him yet.
Yeah, sure.
See what Bean's doing? He's tying the stories together. I like it.
Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Let's try George in Norwalk, please, line 6. It's been a few calls since we had a monkey a sexy time story.
How you doing? Ali, how you doing?
Yeah, we're good.
Hi, George.
What up, George?
Anyways, I was in the Philippines when I was in grade school, and I think this monkey was homosexual because he would keep touching himself every time we come to our friend's house.
Are you hot?
Of course, well, man.
Of course.
To be fair, you asked Melissa, so you might as well ask George, right?
Right.
So there you go. So
the monkey would masturbate if he was around guys? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it literally, he would stop every time we had, like, our, you know, friends or girls. And, yeah, for guys, he just kept going at it again.
He's got a all preference,
right.
That's all.
Right, more power to him. All right, thank you for the call.
Good on him.
I hope you're not driving.
We talk about buying an island and just everybody who wants to just come and live on the island with their monkeys.
See, there you go. Oh. That's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
All right, let's do one more. Let's make it, what do you think of George in Simi Valley, line 1?
All right, hey, George.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We are good. Monkeys are dicks.
Monkeys are real dicks, man. I live in a mobile home park in Simi Valley, right? And the manager had this little monkey, this little, you know, one of those little monkeys you sit on your shoulder.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And he had to train to snap and spit and snarl at people because he used to harass the residents with it.
Oh,
and so to get rid of this monkey... I called the dog catcher, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said, no, you got to call the county. So I called the county. County said, no, you got to call the Forest Service. So the Forest Service comes out and tells this guy he can't take his monkey out of the house anymore because they're not even supposed to be allowed in mobile home parks. But the kicker is the monkey didn't belong to this guy. This guy was a trainer down at Universal.
What?
So
he brought a monkey home?
And he did. I guess they're allowed to take their monkeys home. So the way we got rid of this guy, I called Universal about 5 times until I hit the right person, and I said, hey, you know, when the monkey bites somebody, you hold the paper on it, not this guy. And you guys are going to go, and we're going to come talk to you. And the monkey disappeared.
Well, so thanks to you, he had a monkey kicked out of his house, and now he's probably homeless and living on the streets.
It wasn't. Yeah, he lost his job at Universal, too, so I hope he's starving.
George.
What, that took a turn?
It really did.
We were all fun.
Having fun.
Having a good time right till that. Thanks, George.
Why was Kanye West on the Ellen DeGeneres show?
I don't know.
What's he promoting?
Kanye West.
Okay. All right. It's just Kanye being Kanye?
Pretty much, yeah.
Every time you get this guy on television, here's one thing I'll say about Kanye. He's a train wreck. You can't look away from him. And he always delivers. Every single time he's on TV, he does something that's worth watching.
Yeah.
I find it really easy to look away.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. It's just, I guess, because he's crazy, first of all, and he's so obsessed with his worldview that I'm fascinated every time I get the opportunity to take a little tiny peek inside and see what's going on in his
brain. But I don't feel like we're getting that.
Mm-mm.
Like, when he goes on Ellen,
no.
Ralph played this clip yesterday, and it's him talking about his tweets and her question about that.
Have you regretted anything that you've tweeted?
Nope.
Nothing? Never? You don't go, maybe I should have thought about that a little longer?
What's the point of thinking?
All right, so answer this question. Is that him being truthful or him just deflecting?
No, it's deflecting.
Right?
It's just him self-absorbed. He knows exactly what he's going on there for, and he's just going to get as little across as possible to get people talking.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see it that way.
You
am
don't?
I wrong? Am I being fooled here? Because
yeah.
I think he honestly doesn't regret any of his tweets.
That's
honestly.
Possible, but if he did, would he tell her?
Absolutely not.
Maybe not.
All right, so now she asks him why he wanted Mark Zuckerberg to give him $53 million. And by the way, I didn't have time to play this, but he said that he had dinner with Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, who promised him that they would fund his clothing and blah, 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 blah,
right.
blah. Oh. So he was explaining to her why he needed the money.
I have ideas that can make the human race existence within our 100 years better. Period. The paparazzi, whatever perception you have of me, starting with the truth, start there, put some dope with it.
Yeah, let's all applaud. I don't know why we're applauding. He said, start with the truth and put some dope S on it.
Huh, okay.
Huh.
That's his idea.
Do you think they hit a button to get the audience to applaud? Because they sounded very confused right up until that moment when they all spontaneously decided to clap.
All right, here's a bit of a longer clip, and you just have to tell me what's going on here because I'm not sure.
The exact amount of emotion and color palette and sonics and everything that I put into my music, I put them into the shoes, and they worked. You know, people never write, they'd be like, Kanye's pissing everybody off. Kanye's making so mad. They try to position it through the media in some way that I'm like, whatever your friends might say. You know, so I saw Kanye, how was he? Did he like, but I care about people. Picasso is dead.
Here's the good part.
Huh. Hmm.
Picasso is dead. First of all, did you guys know that?
Well, that is breaking news.
Right? This is something. This is Kanye really being Kanye.
Picasso is dead. Steve Jobs is dead. Walt Disney is dead. Name somebody living that you can name in the same breath as them. I feel that I can make a difference while I'm here. I feel that I can make things better through my skill set. My skills, I'm an artist. 5 years old, art school, PhD, Art Institute of Chicago. I am an artist. I have a condition called synesthesia where I see sounds. I see them. Everything that I sonically make is a painting. I see it. I see the importance. I see the importance and the value of everyone being able to experience.
When do we clap?
A more beautiful life. When I make clothes, it's funny because I'll sit there with Obama and Leo's talking about the environment, and then I'm talking about clothes, and everyone looks at me like, that's not an important issue or something. But I remember going to school, like, in fifth grade and wanting to have a cool outfit. I called the head of Payless. I'm like, I want to work with you. I want to take all this information that I learned from sitting at all these fashion shows and knocking at all these doors and buying all this expensive clothes, and I want to take away bullying.
What? Should we applaud?
You know, I want to.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right. Hold on.
He wants to take away bullying, Bean, because everybody will have dope shoes.
First of all, this is the worst TED Talk ever. But second of all, you know, people do have that synesthesia that he's talking about. Lord has that, where she can see sounds. Did you
if
know that?
You actually had that, would you surround yourself by Kardashians?
That's a good point.
Good point.
I think that Kanye is not an articulate person. As great as he is writing lyrics for his rap songs, off the cuff, he is not an articulate person. I think in his mind, he knows what it is he's trying to say, but he is terrible at presenting that information to the rest of us with words.
I feel like Ellen did the right thing, though, and
just let him talk.
Oh, yeah. I just noticed that Ellen hasn't said a word in 8 minutes.
So then he ends that whole diatribe, that whole, like, 10-minute monologue by apologizing for something.
I'm sorry, daytime television. I'm sorry for the realness.
If he'll leave, we'll applaud.
I'm sorry for the realness.
Come on.
Daytime TV. I'm not done. Hold on, Bean.
Okay.
This Ellen destroys him on this one because she starts talking to him about his kids, and he says his kids are really advanced. And Ellen, at the end of this, is hilarious.
And how is the North is a big sister? She's good?
Yeah, she's awesome.
Does she do anything to, like, take care of him, or she's too young?
No, she does. She's really advanced for her age.
What does she do?
She'll prop him up on the pillow sometimes.
That does sound advanced.
How great was that?
That's funny.
And then they played a game. Do you want to hear that or no? It's quick.
I'm exhausted. Okay.
It's quick. 5 Seconds of Truth is the name of it. Basically, it's named three things in 5 seconds.
Ellen, tell us three things you shave or wax.
Your legs, your arms, your back.
All right, Kanye, give us three things that are hairy. Balls, balls, balls.
Yep. He's not wrong.
He just saved that appearance.
Santa toilet, I gotta do a big number two in you.
Oh, so sweet.
I'm gonna sit on your face, Santa toilet. You're gonna hold my butt cheeks tonight.
Santa.
That's you.
When I see you, I am filled with Christmas cheer. Because my bladder's filled with Christmas party beer. The holidays mean I'm eating like a hog. I got a present for you. It's a Yuletide log.
Santa
toilet, I'm gonna throw a present your way, so catch. And when I'm done, I promise I'll light a match.
Oh, Santa!
You're gonna hold my butt cheeks tonight.
See?
Hey, Beer Mug.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, don't act like you've got holiday cheer.
When is Hanukkah this year, my Jewish friend?
You think like he knows.
You think I know when Hanukkah is?
Really?
I'm Jewish.
I thought those were your people.
He's Jew adjacent.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, happy holidays is the safe way to go then, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm very excited you're here because, you know, the past week or so, we've been giving away tickets to this Office Christmas party, which opens up in theaters today. And I know you were at the red carpet for the premiere, and I'm so excited to hear you talking to Jennifer Aniston and to Jason Bateman and to T.J. Miller and
all the
rest.
We'll get to all that, Bean. We'll get to it all.
I can't wait.
So Muggs on the red carpet at the Office Christmas party, and he's really excited at the very beginning of the night for a very special reason that he shares with our cameraman, Carlos.
Oh, I can't wait. Guess what's across the street, Carlos? Flame Roiler. Just right there. I parked right in front of it. Heaven on earth. Heaven on earth, Carlos. And I'm probably getting a parking ticket as we speak because my meter has expired.
So he's got food on his mind really more than he does interviews.
That's at the beginning of the night. Yeah. He says that his thing has already run out. His meter.
His meter's out before
he's
even started.
At the beginning of the night.
Yeah, I parked at a 30-minute max. It was the only parking spot in Westwood, so it was right by the Flame Broiler. So all that had to do with where I parked. Have you guys ever had Flame Broiler?
I think you're getting off topic here, bud. So, then, so your mind wasn't really on, hey, what kind of great questions am I bringing tonight? It was really on, oh, I can't wait till this dumb show is done so I can eat.
It's always on food, yeah.
Here's what I love. I love that Muggs really has more answers than questions. So when something comes up, Muggs then takes whatever came up and explains in great detail what it is. Mm-hmm. To the person who brought it up. In this case, Adrian Martinez is who you were talking to. And he, you asked him about being in an office.
Have you ever worked in an office environment in your life?
Sort of. I was a telemarketer for a while.
Oh, that's a rough job. You got to call people that you don't know, random strangers, and expect to get hung up on most of the time, right?
Why are you...
Just making sure he knows what he did.
But he was the telemarketer, so he did those
in case
steps.
He forgot.
Why did you explain to him what he was doing?
In case he forgot, obviously.
Did you think that he was going to... He had forgotten?
He's a big actor now, of course.
Mm. Randall...
Park.
Oh, we love him. From Veep and so many other things,
he
right?
played Kim Jong-un in... name escapes
in
me.
In that movie. And this is Muggs, one of his patented questions and quick answers.
Now, Randall, you've acted most of your life, correct?
No.
Cut and dry,
right? Did you have a reason that you asked him that? Or did you just assume he acted more?
I was going to ask him the office question again, if he ever worked in an office. The same thing I asked Adrian.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Tell me about Fortune Feimster.
Fortune Feimster. She's an actress. She's really, really funny. Funny lady. And she's in Office Christmas Party. She plays the Uber driver.
I see.
Okay. Picks up Jennifer Aniston.
So Muggs is talking to her, but then he sees Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And he has so little interest now in Fortune that he stops talking to Fortune and starts yelling at Katy. And trying to use Fortune to get her to come over like he did with
Walk the Moon.
This happens.
And I played Jen Aniston's Uber driver in particular. And
who's walking by? Is that Katy Perry? Is that Katy Perry?
That's Katy Perry.
Katy Perry! Katy, Fortune Feimster, right here. Katy! I'm sorry, Fortune. I don't want to be rude.
Too late.
Never works. That will never work.
Well, here's the other thing, Muggs. Yeah. If you're standing right in front of somebody and then you see somebody that's the definition of a horrible Los Angelino.
You're always
looking over their shoulder for somebody more important, and then you stop talking to her and you start shouting at the person behind her.
But imagine if I got a hot exclusive interview with Fortune and Katy Perry.
Did you?
No.
No, you did not.
I mean, you were this close to just pushing Fortune into traffic to get her out of your way.
So then Jennifer Aniston walks by. How great Fortune is that? So this is Muggs with Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston! Jan! She's got a ton of security. Jan! Jan! Jan!
All right, now I have a question.
Yeah.
Even if she hears you, does she go by J-Ann?
No.
So
never.
Even if she hears somebody yelling J-Ann, that must be somebody else's, not me.
It's totally not what she's ever been called.
Why
ever.
Would you call her something she's never been called?
Come on, all the cool kids are saying that, right?
All right, so then you run into Sam Richardson.
Yeah.
Who we also love, also from Veep.
Veep, he's got a new movie called The Detroiters.
Right.
Coming up. Good guy.
Muggs, nice as man. Muggs likes to do, starts talking to him, but immediately turns it around onto his own story.
I loved Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. I don't know if you knew this, but I got to...
Now...
Why would he know it?
Why would he know that? Why in any world would he know that you got flown...
Look,
to Hawaii to be in that movie.
There's a small
possibility.
There is, because
there's zero possibility.
On set chatter amongst the cast members.
I'm sure talking about you.
Did you guys hear that the movie company flew out a bunch of extras?
Sure.
This is great.
Here we go.
I loved Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates. I don't know if you knew this, but I got to be flown out. 20th Century flew us out. And I got to be an extra in Mike and Dave.
In Hawaii? Oh, man.
Now listen to him being so kind and just playing along with your stupid story about how you got
there.
He doesn't care.
I think he was interested.
Because he's super nice. That's why.
It was the bar scene where Adam and Zach were going over
the dates. Yeah.
But the thing was...
Okay, now, what do you think the thing was, Bean? After all of that, what do you think the thing was?
I'm so blown away that he's spending all of Sam Richardson's time talking about Beer Mug.
I swear to God, Beer Mug, if you're about to tell him it was cut, I'm going to cut you.
Oh, no. Is my scene got cut out of the movie.
Beer Mug!
It's time for some cutting.
Yep.
Maybe on the DVD extras?
I hope so.
Either way, I got flown out. We got to party in Hawaii for like 3 days.
Yeah, keep telling him that story. That's gold. That story is gold.
It was awesome. I got to party in Hawaii for 8 weeks.
Boom.
It is incredible.
Best location you've ever filmed a movie, right?
I mean, it has to be. Second only to Atlanta.
That's where you shot off his Christmas party.
Oh, good. So then you're talking about him playing a DJ.
Yeah.
And the reggaeton.
He plays a DJ in the movie.
This is one of the weirdest things that Muggs has ever said.
The reggaeton horn. When I'm in a bad mood, and I just play that sound, I'm automatically in a good mood.
Yeah.
That's just not true.
By the way.
That is 100% not true. When you're in a bad mood, there's not a soul in this building that can even reach you.
Dude, all you have to do is play the reggae
horn. That's just not true.
Next time I'm in a bad mood, Kevin.
Remember yesterday when you were sitting in the office?
Yeah.
And none of us could get your attention?
Did you play?
Because you were looking at your phone?
Did you play the reggae horn?
Oh,
thank you.
Lord.
You didn't.
You're such a liar. You lie. That's what you do.
I love that noise. And I just play that sound, I'm automatically in a good mood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sam Richardson, by the way, great at doing that. Great at doing their reggae horn.
Hey, thanks for that update. Tell me about Divine
Joy Randolph.
Randolph, yes.
She is in This Is Us, and she's also in Office Christmas Party, mm-hmm. and she's a very, very sweet lady as well.
Right. And how did Charles, our security guard, come up?
Because
more importantly,
Divine plays the security guard in Office Christmas Party.
More importantly, why would you talk trash about our security guard, Charles?
I didn't say one bad thing about Charles.
Here we go.
Well, it's funny. Our security guard at K-Rock, Charles, was the drummer for Little Richard, and he's the coolest guy in the world. And it's like, I don't necessarily know if there was a threat to the building. He's the best guy, but he certainly is the nicest guy.
Yeah. What's happening right now? He's saying Charles is nice, but if we've got any kind of issue that needs a security guard, maybe he's not the guy.
Right, but why does this actress need to know this?
Because she plays a security guard in Office Christmas Party, Bean.
So you're telling her about a security guard you also know.
And I have to name drop Charles because he's awesome.
But not a good security
guard.
Security
guard.
According to Beer Mug.
Why would you say that?
And then a very confusing question, another one for Divine, about This Is Us.
You are a reoccurring character
on This Is Us.
Yeah. On This Is Us. What is that like? How's that been? Because it's kind of, this is the first season, right?
Wow, okay. That was strokey. Stroke-ish. I'm sorry, I hate to prolong the pain, but could I hear that question one more time? Do you mind?
On This Is Us, what is that like? How's that been? Because it's kind of, this is the first season, right?
All right, now, Bean, who are you looking forward to in these interviews?
Well, I mean, you know, the stars, you're Jason Bateman, you're Jennifer Aniston, we already missed her. T.J. Miller would have been a nice one. Who else is there that we should be talking about?
Olivia Munn. It doesn't matter. We're finished.
That was it.
He got none of them.
Okay.
Zero.
Oh.
And then he ends it with this, where he's he's surly. He's surly and he wants to get to his flame broiler.
Now, I didn't get the really big stars, mainly the people on the billboard. Jennifer Aniston walked right by us. Jason Bateman wasn't even here. Hey, what do you want from me?
Right.
Okay. Seriously. Just have a merry Christmas.
Right?
Wow.
Whoa. Right?
That took a turn.
I love that we sent him out on the red carpet to do interviews, and his reaction is, what do you want from me?
What do you want from me?
We want you to keep doing what you're doing.
You got it.
That's what we want for you.
Prophetsofrage.com. Have you been there lately, you guys?
Yes.
It's countdown.
Countdown clock.
To 8 o'clock this morning.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour, 21 minutes, 53 seconds from right now is when a bomb goes off or something happens. Or
I don't think a bomb goes off.
I'm not sure how it works. Happened. I don't know.
A musical bomb, Bean.
But
nice.
But Prophets Rage are going to be here in studio with us in about 20 minutes. So we will be ahead of that announcement at the website. So definitely be listening to K-Rock, hear it on the radio, and we'll also be streaming this through Facebook Live. Now, this is on the Kevin and Bean page, right?
Sure.
Or the K-Rock page. I thought you might know. We'll get back to you on that. I'm not a big wine drinker or vodka drinker or any kind of alcohol drinker, so I don't know much about how these things are made. But I will confess that I was surprised to see that there is a limited edition vodka that is now being made with San Francisco fog.
What?
Yeah, they're making it with fog.
How do you make vodka with fog?
It's funny you would ask.
Fog is a big part of the identity of San Francisco. But Hangar One, water is at the center of everything that we do. Vodka is made up from 60% water. And to support water conservancy in California, we started to explore more sustainable ways to make Hangar One. Could we make a vodka using fog? The process of collecting fog is actually...
By the way, she doesn't even pause there for a second.
How high were they when they're like, can we make vodka out of fog?
So funny. Oh.
Could we make a vodka using fog? The process of collecting fog is actually similar to the process of distilling, taking a liquid, vaporizing it, and then collecting the vapor back to a liquid. It was just magical to see that the water does have a flavor. And not only that, but it lends something really unique to the final product. Very delicate and very subtle, but it definitely has a signature that we're really excited about.
Come on.
Show of hands. Who believes this?
No one.
Not even a little bit. I don't know why this needs to be a thing. So we asked Dave, who could we talk to? And from Hangar One, the company that's making the fog vodka, we have Andy Clark on the line. Mr. Clark, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, Andy.
That's how you are?
What?
What kind of question is that?
I said, how are you? He said, hi.
Oh. All right.
So, Andy.
Oh. Because you thought I was high.
Right, a little bit, yeah. All right,
no,
so,
I'm using it in a salutation form.
Okay, that's fine, too. So, Andy, what are we missing about this? Why does the world need a vodka that is made of fog?
Why doesn't it need one?
Well, because there are plenty of other vodkas that are delicious that are made with water. You don't have to go to that extra step to get the water out of the air.
But fog is an identifiable part of the California experience, man.
Right. Uh-huh.
And we're here at Hangar One, we're dedicated to creating fresh, new experimental vodkas from purely Californian ingredients.
Right. But
okay. But next.
It just sounds made up, though. It sounds like something that...
You think fog is made up, man? You've never been to San Francisco. You can't even see the bridge sometimes because it's fog.
No, I know that fog is real, but, I mean, just you can just use water and claim it's fog. It just seems like an unnecessary step.
Well, that would be a lie.
Well, okay. It says that it has a distinct taste, so fog tastes different?
Well, listen, water comes from different sources, okay?
Right.
Okay.
You can get water from, like, a mountain stream.
Sure.
Or water from, like, Santa Monica Bay.
Right.
If I gave you a glass of water from the bay or a stream, you could tell the difference.
Absolutely.
One would have a syringe floating in it.
Likely, yes. Okay.
So we use California ingredients to make our special vodkas, and it's the sustainable way to get water, man. We're not taking it from, you know, drought-stricken California. We're pulling it right from the air. It's a good thing, man.
It says here, this revolutionary experiment yields an extraordinarily crisp, pure, and gluten-free sipping vodka.
It's delicious, man. We get up. I get two guys out there every morning, Keith and Brad, and I give them a mason jar, and I say, run through the fog, man, and bring some back. And they do. Then we just make the vodka.
And then how much vodka can you make out of those two containers?
I don't know, less than some.
So if you see two dudes named Keith and Brad just running along the beach catching fog.
With an open mason jar, and you know what they're doing.
It does sound like a very labor-intensive process
it's
to make vodka.
It's not easy, but nothing good is, man. And that's why we're making vodka from all kinds of California ingredients.
Oh, not just fog?
No, we got one we make out of paint chips from the Golden Gate Bridge.
That sounds dangerous.
Yeah.
It's not a big seller.
Okay, all right.
People are going blind when they drink it.
Right,
I think that's a drawback.
Yeah, let's not make that anymore.
We also got a guy down on the Hollywood Walk of Fame just squeegeeing up condensation in the morning.
Oh.
That makes for an interesting vodka.
I bet.
We got one made out of Huell Hauser's ashes.
Oh, that's amazing.
How's that one?
You How dare you? He's a treasure.
Right. I don't want to drink him.
We got one made out of Lamar Odom's sweat.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
We don't need to steal that, man. We just you drink and you get like hammered. And we're making another one out of bears.
Wait, what?
Out of bears?
Bears on the flag of California, man.
Right?
Right.
Right.
But how do you make a vodka out of a bear?
You just put it in a barrel and step on them like grapes.
Oh. And that works?
Well, it hasn't so far, but we're going to keep trying.
You're awful at that clapping.
What? I thought the Hands of Fury clap along was just yesterday.
I thought they broke up.
Clap along. It's a band.
Okay. It's not though.
It's a band.
But stop it. But don't.
Okay.
It's not for you.
Hey,
I don't know about you, Kevin. I love Canada, and I've been to a lot of Canada, but I've never made it as far north and as far east as I want to. I've not yet been to Halifax. I haven't been to Nova Scotia. I haven't been to Prince Edward Island. I haven't been to Newfoundland. I want to do all of that one day.
Get with it.
I know.
Get with
it. I do have to get it together.
But go check out Cape Breton. It's a lovely, school. It's great.
I've seen a lot of pictures. It looks like a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, and I'd love to do that. But I will tell you that I already have one place I know I'm going, and that is in Halifax. I'm going to the Timber Lounge, because how often does a guy like me get a chance to hurl an axe through the air? Who's with me?
Not for you to hurl it.
Here's the thing. Of all the people in the world, maybe you would be, I'd say, dead last as the person that we want with an axe in your hand.
Yes.
Right. But at the Timber Lounge in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Kevin, you were invited to unleash your inner lumberjack, and that's what I'm all about.
But you don't have an inner lumberjack.
Let's talk to the founder of the Timber Lounge and the Lumberjack Experience. A world champion log roller joins us on the phone, Darren Hudson. Hey, Darren, how you doing, man?
Oh, yes, I'm doing excellent, my friend.
He just said excellent.
He did.
Yes, he did.
See?
Now, before we get into axe talk, what do you mean by being a world champion log roller? What are your credentials to earn that title?
Log rolling on a river is comprises of two people on the same stick of wood, raised turn log, kind of spin each other off. You can't touch each other. You got to use your footwork to maneuver them off that stick of wood.
Okay, I've seen that. So it's a giant log in the water, and you're trying to roll it faster or slower so your opponent falls.
Yeah.
And you're a champion.
I managed to outwit my opponents on the other end of the log, get them in the drink.
You outwit them?
And got them in the drink.
Okay.
All right. Well good for
we
you.
We need to learn a lot.
We do. We apparently don't speak Canadian. All right. So if that were all you'd accomplished, I would be impressed. But now I find out that you are also the founder of the Timber Lounge, which has made international headlines because you have axe throwing going on at your place. Are you the first place to do this, or is this something you've just brought to Halifax, but it existed elsewhere?
Axe throwing's been around for eons, of course, but axe throwing clubs have also been around in various places around the world, but we are the first licensed indoor axe throwing facility in the world.
Okay.
We have a beautiful spot.
Okay. And do you sell alcohol?
We make sure that our patrons can celebrate the moment with craft beer and Nova Scotia wine.
I'm in,
too.
What could go wrong?
We are hopping a flight.
If somebody in Southern California is found with an axe, they are arrested immediately.
Yes, yes.
You make it sound like this is just an average thing.
Oh, yeah. No, like, our patrons have an extraordinary time.
All right. Okay. All right. All right, Darren.
Solid wood furniture, and it's a privilege to share our world with people so that they can have the opportunity to be a lumberjack for the day.
But, Kevin, let me ask you this.
Why don't you ax him?
All right, let me ask you this, Kevin. How different, Kevin, for you is you accept people throwing darts in bars,
yes.
And you can obviously put a guy's eye out. I mean, this is just a little bigger instrument, but it's
not
the same
a little
concept.
Bigger. Have you seen it's full size?
I know.
It's not like a hammer size.
Yeah.
Like a little, well, I don't even know what you call that, hatchet? But it's a full size axe.
Right.
Yeah.
The difference is, worst case scenario, you put an eye out. Worst case scenario, dead. That seems like that's maybe a little more extreme.
Oh, no. Oh, totally. You guys are barking up the wrong tree here.
He's got all the wood puns.
I'm looking at Kevin getting more and more irate. Here's the thing, Darren. The puns are great for Bean and Allie. Kevin is losing his mind right now.
I'm not a fan of puns.
How dare you?
However, you do seem to be a professional, so I'll allow it.
Darren, I'm very surprised by something I saw you say in an interview the other day, which is that you have had multiple people who have thrown a bullseye with an axe the first time they ever threw it. How do you explain that?
Will of man. That's how I explain it. People can do extraordinary things in a social setting while being put on the spot to achieve.
That's, I guess so.
We've had 20 people do it. It's incredible.
I once put a piece of uncooked spaghetti in my mouth, and a man threw an axe and went through the spaghetti and hit a bullseye. How great is that?
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did that happen?
Well, that happened. Okay. I did it during a TV segment. Yeah.
It's very impressive and incredibly stupid.
I'm not smart, but I have full faith in that guy. Okay. Yeah.
I am going off my noodle right now. There's no way that I would execute a maneuver like that.
Right? Because that's straight insane.
Yeah, it is.
So I had an apple in my mouth and a guy with a chainsaw carved decay in it.
That's just not true.
That did happen. Oh. That happened, actually, yeah.
It did.
So, Darren, you don't allow anybody to knock an apple off somebody's head with an axe or anything silly like that, right?
No. I asked David Letterman to do one time. He said, no, I'm done with that. We do allow people to put pictures of their bosses on the target, and we call it good with that.
Oh, nice. Okay. And do you have, leagues and stuff like that? Like, people have dart leagues. Are there axe leagues?
Oh, axe league night is just off the hook. You want to see the players hooting and hollering and dancing. All these people who, sign up for the league, get to meet each other, go through this six-week session, and come out of this with a experience of a lifetime that they're going to remember forever.
Honestly, I feel like we need to have a team.
I feel like, A, we need a team, and B, I need to go to Nova Scotia and just see, bearded dudes drinking beer.
Throwing axes.
I am so turned on right now, Darren.
Yeah. Women love to throw the axe. It's beautiful to watch because they're apprehensive, they're unsure, they stick that axe in the target, and wow, they change immediately. It is phenomenal.
It's empowering.
When you say they're unsure, I'm assuming that you don't have to have some kind of experience. Do you have somebody there that will train them?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, we go all out in our group bookings to make sure that everybody, hits the full package. We go through the safety talk, then we do the training session before we lead into the one-on-one, and then a little fun group tournament where we do a round robin and champions throw at the end. So,
do people wear helmets?
Full body suit.
Yeah,
chainmail. No, axe throwing is actually the safest lumberjack sport there is.
I've said that for years.
Hold on.
I've said that for years.
What is more dangerous than axe throwing?
Oh, I love this one. I love this one. Apparently, going to the beach is more dangerous than axe throwing, right?
What does that even mean? This sounds like a made-up stat you're about to give us.
No. And if you've ever heard of Pages Cove, Nova Scotia, one person a year gets swept off the rocks while taking a picture of a big oncoming wave.
Those people are stupid.
Darwinism.
People are getting eaten by alligators at Walt Disney. So nothing is...
Well, that does happen, yeah.
Yeah, hold your hand the whole time to ensure, there's no accident.
All right. I am convinced now that axe throwing is the safest sport in America. So you've done your work here, Darren.
I'm convinced we need a team and we need to compete. Now, can we bring an out-of-country team and just join a league? Is there a championship or we could go right to?
I think this would be an opportunity for you guys to extend your presence here in Canada. Drop on into the Timber Lounge. And that would be right up our alley, and Kevin and Bean.
And our alley as well.
Yeah.
All right. The Timber Lounge in Halifax, Nova Scotia. You can find them online at timberlounge.ca. Darren Hudson is the founder. Good luck to you, my friend. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
You guys are awesome. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Talk to Jim Rome at 8 o'clock this morning like we do every Thursday. He's got to help us get Maria Sharapova back into tennis, right? I don't want to go 2 years without her playing tennis, right?
Plus the Warriors blow, right?
Well,
right?
Must suck to be a fan of Golden State right now, I'll tell you that.
Well, that would suck.
They're nothing. Anyway, Jim Rome at 8. Dr. Drew joins us at 9. That's all coming up on K-Rock.
There are things that I like better than Bean, and there are things that Bean likes better than I do.
Sure.
I believe this is one of mine. I believe Bean is not thrilled with it.
Okay.
I don't know why this annoys me so much.
I don't either. Because it's only great.
I don't think it's great, but it something about it annoys me, and I'm the guy who loves, and please don't take this clip of tape out of context, I'm the guy who loves barnyard animals. All right, I said I do. I mean, I'm a guy who's had cows, had sheep, had pigs, had doggies, and by had I mean owned, and by owned I don't mean with them. I don't mean what you're thinking. But the point is...
You're not helping yourself.
What's their first rule is when you're in a hole, stop digging?
Yep.
Bean owned that donkey the other day?
Oh, man.
I don't know why this annoys me so much. But the website Insane, or the YouTube channel, I should say, Insane Cherry, has done quite a few of these where they have taken the sounds of barnyard animals and edited them together to make songs.
Now, yesterday, Ralph brought in White Stripes, Seven Nation Army. And, but he also told us that they did a bunch of other songs, so we thought that we would play some highlights of some of these other songs, all done by animals.
Because just because you've heard the joke once doesn't mean you don't want to hear it a second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth
time, wet blanket, right? You just sit back. So this is White Stripes, Seven Nation Army. I will say, to Bean's point, they do put up the whole song.
Right.
And that's not necessarily needed.
Like, okay. Maybe we've heard enough of Seven Nation Army by Barnyard Animals.
Right. What about Queen, We Will Rock You?
Oh, I need it.
What about that? Right? Right?
This is finally the best reason, the best, most solid justification I've heard for the internet.
And you know the stomp, stomp, clap? Uh-huh. It's a cat running into a window, which that makes me happy as well.
See, I think the video...
Cats blow.
Okay.
You think the video helps?
I think the video absolutely helps, because then you can, when you listen to it later, as Kevin has many times, you visualize those animals.
Yes, and it's very funny.
Absolutely.
How about Linkin Park, Numb?
Sure.
Okay, but again, I have to ask, tell me again why we need a goat singing a Linkin Park song? I mean, why is that a thing?
Why don't we?
Yeah, you just answered it when
you
asked
your own
it.
Question.
I don't have a goat to sing in Linkin Park-shaped hole in my heart like you do, I guess.
Well, I do, and now it's filled. That's the best thing you've ever heard.
It's not.
Should I play that one again, or do we?
No, okay. I think we got it. We got it. All
right. How about System of a Down? You want to hear some System of a Down?
Yeah.
Why
yes,
the hell
you
not.
Do.
Animal is that?
Right.
Sounds like a bad day in the barnyard to me, man.
Oof.
By the way, again, the YouTube channel is called Insane Cherry if you want to follow along and play the home game.
You're going to want to watch AWOL Nation Sail.
What poor animal is coerced into singing Sail?
But why do we need to watch it, Kevin?
Well, you know how the song goes, bah, da, na, 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 na. You know how it does that?
Right.
Uh-huh. The bah is a deer farting.
Okay. All right. Come on. Right?
Yeah.
to be the one, and I'm the guy that likes this, I'm going to be the one to tell you not to watch that one through the end. You do not want to see what happens at the end.
Is there a surprise?
I'm just saying that a hippopotamus is doing some work.
Oh.
It's putting in some work. And you may not want to see that. But otherwise,
USA!
Right?
USA! Right?
USA! Sure, why not?
Right? USA!
Sounds to me, Kevin, like you've got a question for us.
Would you like to take that back? No. Would you like to take that back? No. Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you take that back? No. Would you like to take that back? No. Would you like to take that back? No. Tell me, would you, if you could, you would you take that back?
You know, when somebody wrongs you, oftentimes all it takes to feel better is just an acknowledgement that the person was wrong, the person misspoke, the person makes an apology, and I guess that's the opportunity that we have here. You're going to bring out some things for us, Kevin, that maybe we have a chance to wipe the slate clean a little bit by owning up to it.
We get it.
So wait.
I'm not sure
follow. We can take something back.
Take something back, yes, yeah.
So if we said something on the radio first time.
Oh, God.
So we'd like to make amends.
Right, yes. Uh-huh.
In this 12-step process of radio, then we would have the opportunity to do so now.
All right, the first one is Allie. Hard to imagine.
Oh, what a surprise.
Ralph's doing a story about people naming their children after Star Wars characters, and Bean is very, very happy with that.
Your kid is going to be a baller because he's got a Star Wars name.
A baller.
Yes, because he has a Star Wars name. Because people people love Star Wars.
Yeah.
They
have any other names, or is that your only one?
I wanted Kenobi. She wanted Luke, and I said, no, that doesn't count.
She was trying to make an only one Kenobi joke. We all got it.
Would you like to take that back?
Nope.
Oh,
wow.
Are you kidding?
No.
Okay.
No.
Are you kidding?
No.
Mm. That's something.
All right, Negan, just keep doing what you're doing.
I heard it.
Did you hear that? That's odd. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, your own farts don't smell bad. What they always say.
Says the man that never takes anything back.
Well, because magic.
This is Bean. Ralph's talking about Bobby.
What?
Bobby Brown having a kid.
Congratulations to Bobby Brown. He's going to be a dad again. Sweet.
Is that sweet?
Yeah. Because think of how good he is at making babies.
Come on, Ralph. Don't be cruel.
Would you like to take that back?
What was wrong with that?
Your mic was on.
Yeah. That was fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
What about the lack of any response from
anybody? Well, that's on you.
That's why you're tapping the mic, because you wanted to make sure it was still on, because couldn't even tell if we were still here.
Right.
Because
the room.
That's on you. Sometimes any stand-up will tell you, sometimes it's the audience that sucks.
Any stand-up.
Sometimes it's the audience that sucks, and that was the case. There's nothing wrong with the material. No, I'm not going to take that.
Bean's extensive live comedy experience.
So this feature is just going to be called "We're Not Going to Take It Back." One's taking it back.
We should change the name. Yeah.
Here's Ralph.
Oh my lord!
This is a chance for him to take it back. He's talking about Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne having a kid.
Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne have a newborn son. We mentioned that when the baby was born. Bobby tells People magazine that their little son Rocco has an interesting middle name. It's after Rose's father. His middle name is Robin. Rocco Robin. The actor also tells People that Rocco Robin, he rocks in the treetops all day long, hopping and a bopping and...
Really?
Ralph, what's happening?
So early.
All the little birdies, apparently, on J. Bird Street love to hear Rocco Robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rocco Robin...
Get him the hell out of here!
I agree.
Would you like to take that back?
I gotta tell you, during that entire thing, Ralph was dying. There's no way he's taking this back.
Rocco Robin! Right.
I'm very curious if you're gonna take this one back. Bearing in mind that it's a 50-year-old song, Ralph, are you gonna take it back?
50.
You're scolding him.
My reference was from the 80s, at least.
Sorry, Flip Wilson. My reference is too old for you.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, I'll take that back. That was, that was really inappropriate. But still, it made me personally laugh very, very hard.
Both times.
Yes.
Next is Allie and Bean, both. There was a story in the news about Olivia Newton-John. Her boyfriend disappeared for 12
faked his
years.
Own death.
Yeah,
away
faked
from
his
her,
own
basically.
Death.
Ghosted her. Who could do that to Olivia Newton-John,
right?
By the way? Not that anybody deserves it, but seriously. She's Sandy from Greece.
She's an American icon, even though she's Australian.
Right.
She's an Australian icon who now lives in America.
She's not the one that he wanted. So you just...
Why are you the worst?
You're saying, Allie, if I understand correctly, he was not hopelessly devoted to her.
You two, I want to tie you together and throw you in puppy leg.
Would you like to take that back?
All right, so let's start with Allie.
I will take that back.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, you're welcome.
Why, Allie?
Does that affect your decision?
Yes, it does very much because I was fine with it because I don't see any difference between my don't be cruel and my hopelessly devoted. It's the same principle, and I think
they're both
fine.
Tucky.
Why did you take it back, Allie?
I didn't take the Star Wars one back because it was awesome. This one, it was a little easy. It was a little easy.
Mm. Right, I felt I had an obligation to keep going after you started. Okay. I am not gonna take it back.
An obligation?
I did.
What are you talking about? Just because she's bad doesn't
mean...
Not
the law.
She opened the door and I walked through it. I'm not taking it back.
So she took it back and you're not.
Yeah. I know, right?
Interesting.
All right. Yeah. And finally, Ralph is doing a story about the real family behind the Sound of Music.
And it's sad news. The Von Trapp family singers are performing their final show on May 3rd at the Star Theater in Portland, Oregon. It'll be the final performance of the Von Trapp family singers, which, of course, are a singing group that goes all the way back to the 1930s, is when Captain and Maria Von Trapp started performing with their kids. And now this features the great-grandchildren of Captain Georg Von Trapp and Maria Von Trapp. Last show will be on May 3rd at the Star Theater. So if you're nearby, go say so long.
Nope.
Farewell.
Nope.
Adieu. A Wiedersehen to the Von Trapp singer.
Yeah! Would you like to take that back?
Because those kids sang that in the Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Von Trapp kids sing.
Right. Right. They sang that before they went up to bed, right?
Well, the only reason I did that story was to do that joke. So if I take it back, then I have to start questioning everything.
Right. You should.
Yeah, I should.
Would you like to take that back?
Yeah, I'll take that one back.
Oh, fantastic.
I don't know how many of you saw Sully. It was the number one movie over the weekend. It's crazy. That story is crazy. Even when you see it now, even having heard about it then, it seems impossible. They left the airport 100 seconds later. Both engines failed. And Captain Sullenberger had to land that plane on the Hudson. Zero people died.
Yeah.
That's not possible. But it happened.
Yeah.
And it's really cool because they really make a point of the fact that when that happened, mm-hmm. it was a really bad time. It was sort of after, you know, September 11th, and everything was really negative. And then all of a sudden, this story comes out of nowhere. And it's just an amazing tale that these people not only survived, but there were very few injuries. That's impossible.
He landed a plane on the water.
Yes.
That's insanity.
I mean, wouldn't you just assume that if it's a jetliner and it lands on the water, everyone's dead? That would be my first thought. No one will. There was nobody killed. Everyone survived.
If you remember back to that day and seeing the video of people out on the wing, people jumping into the boat, it looks like something that would only happen in the movies.
Right, and you would say, oh, that's ridiculous.
Right. It never would happen.
Could never happen because it's too hard to believe.
Right.
So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if it's a miracle that you're alive. I'm sure other people have stories like that where they – for all intents and purposes, should be dead, but for some reason, their life was spared, and they're not quite sure why. I had one serious car accident where I flipped the car three times.
Oof.
Didn't get hurt at all. Well,
yikes.
Hurt my back some, but considering, that's pretty good. I was coming back from Burning Man, and there was a cow. It's a long story, but anyway... Anyway, I flipped the car three times. And then there was another time where I was rock climbing, and I was just 1,000% convinced I couldn't get back down. I was stuck in a spot, and there was just one place that I could jump. And if I miss, it was 500 feet down.
You're kidding.
No.
And did you die?
What?
Nothing.
Did you ask if I died?
I did.
Yeah. No, but I'm lucky that I didn't. I mean, I looked at it, and I thought about it for a long time, and I just thought, you know what? This is my only shot.
Right.
So I just... I jumped. It's probably not as far as I'm thinking in my mind. Like in my mind, it was probably a quarter of a mile.
Sure.
In real life, it was probably like 4 feet. But if I didn't catch that, I die. And I remember going through the whole thought process of, oh, this is going to suck for my parents and nobody's going to find me because I was in the woods.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was just, I was sobbing. No, I wasn't sobbing, but I was really, it was really sort of like a moment where I went, okay, this is in the next 2 minutes, I'm either going to live and be the most grateful person alive or die. Yeah,
you've had two near-death experiences.
Well, I mean, yeah, people get in car accidents. I think the car, the rock climbing thing was a little bit more dangerous because cars are built to take falls.
Right.
Plus Burning Man. But anyway, so.
And a cow.
Yeah, the cow. So so you're it's a miracle that you're alive. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We don't talk about this type of thing enough, I don't think, where really all of the odds were going against you, and somehow it worked out okay for you. Let's start with Jacob in Lake Elsinore. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for calling. It's a miracle that you're alive. How?
I fell 14 feet upside down off the scaffold on the back of my head.
Oh, my goodness.
Down on the back side of your head?
Yeah.
And what did you break anything?
I shattered my left wrist. I tried to tuck and roll, threw my arm out, and I guess that slowed me down.
But not your neck. Your head, your neck were fine?
Neck, back, everything's good.
Concussion, anything?
Nope.
Jacob, I'm concerned about your head. That is a very strong noggin.
I fell on the best part I could have fallen on my head. I got a hard head.
Wow.
Is it possible that you have a concussion and you're still not aware of it?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, yeah, maybe. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Jacob. Thank you.
14 feet backwards. Landing on his head.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, that's super lucky. Let's go to Mario in Whittier. Hi, Mario.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. It's a miracle you're alive because?
I flipped my work van 6 times off the 710 freeway.
Off the freeway.
Wow.
Off the freeway.
Your work van. Did you have your seatbelt on?
No seatbelt. Van flipped. I ended up in the center of the console. And finally, when the truck stopped, I remember screaming, did it stop? Did it stop? And I was able to climb out, and I was in one piece.
Whoa.
Did you have the same reaction that I did after that accident, which is to, like, I thought I was in shock and something had to be hurt. So I was feeling my elbows.
Like patting
and
yourself down?
Am I bleeding?
I was kind of holding onto my right arm, but it was really from holding onto the steering wheel as it was flipping.
And that's the only thing that happened to you?
Only thing.
Wow. You're lucky. That's
awesome. Are you wearing your seatbelt now, Mario?
No.
No, because it worked for him.
Mario!
It worked for him last time.
Come on. Jeez.
Thank you for the call, Mario. Let's go to Rick. These are getting even more dangerous. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
Calling us from Glendora. Hi. It's a miracle you're alive.
Yeah, one day I work on elevators, so I was working on a car dock. And one of my partners decided to run the car up.
Tell your GPS to zip it.
Is your GPS GPS talking to us?
It is. Sorry about that.
Tell it to zip it.
I already shut it off.
Okay, go. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so he proceeded to run the car up, and that chain got caught to a metal bar. And when we realized it was too late, so it snapped off. When it snapped off, it came down and kind of wrapped its way around my arm. So when it pulled me, it felt like it was going to pull me off the side of the elevator. And now I'm 14 stories up.
Oh, my God.
So I just kind of leaned back, and it just pulled, and it felt like it was going to pull my arm off. But I was able to stay on top of the elevator.
Really?
Oh, that is terrifying.
Yeah, I had, like, some like road rash from the chain wrapping around my arm. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, but considering, that's best-case scenario.
Exactly. You know, I got my arm, and I got to stay alive, so no complaint.
Wow. And then did you just pull that elevator back all the way up to the top just with the sheer strength of your other arm?
No. Actually, this was a chain underneath the elevator. It's a compensating chain.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it was just one of those crazy days.
That's a good story to hear. Thank you, Rick.
You guys have a good one.
Thank you. You too. Let's go to Jason, who is calling us from Chatsworth. Hi, Jason.
Hi, how are you?
I thought we would get plenty of calls. I didn't think we would get this many.
This is
great.
They're still coming.
It's a miracle you're alive, Jason.
Yes, it is. It really is, because I was driving my truck on the 14th freeway going to Lancaster, and I had the flu that day, and I ended up falling asleep driving my truck, and I rear-ended an 18-wheeler that was doing about 20 miles an hour going up the grade.
Oof.
And I was doing about 80 miles an hour cruise control, And, yeah, my truck went underneath the semi-truck.
Oh, man.
And the truck that I was driving had a 4-inch lift on it, right?
Right.
And so if I didn't have that 4-inch lift, you know, the in the back of the semi-truck, there's that little, there's a bar that in between the tires, that would have decapitated me because that bar actually hit my radiator and pushed my engine back over a foot.
Wow.
And that, and that, like 85% severed my right leg.
So
I'm lucky to be alive because if I didn't have that 4-inch lift on my truck, I would have been decapitated instead of just having a leg cut off.
Wow.
Wow.
There's a lot of bad in that story.
But you know what? I'm alive and I've got two beautiful kids I get to raise and it's all that matters. You know, I got two boys now and everything's great.
So. And you got your stand-up career?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly my stand-up career.
Thank you, Jason, for the call. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. It's a miracle you're alive. Yes, I just gave a guy a hard time because he sounded like Steve-O and I said he had a stand-up career and he had one leg. Okay, so let's just get that out there so that we can move on. I saw Sully over the weekend, and 155 people are on
what,
board.
What, Dave? What did you see?
Sully.
Okay.
What did I say?
Sully.
Sully. Sully over the weekend. There were 155 people on board, and 155 people were okay, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I just started thinking about it's a miracle you're alive, and that happens to a lot of us. We have enough calls we could do this all day.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. So let's start with Ken, who is calling us from Long Beach. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how's it going, y'all?
Good. It's a miracle you're alive. How?
Okay, so I was in the Navy from 95 through 99, and we go out periodically and do training to get used to. Oh, I was an aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out periodically and do training so that the pilots can get training. We can get training for an actual battle type situation. Well, one of the jobs is to, when they land, is to basically guide them out of the landing area so that other planes could come in.
Right.
Well, what happened was one of the directors turned the jet the wrong way, and the jet blast was directly to my back.
Oh,
and
no.
I flew basically about 70 yards down the flight deck.
Off the carrier?
Into the water.
Almost or into the water?
Well, because around the carrier, there's nets.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I fell into the nets.
Did it burn you?
My jacket, like my my vest that they make us wear, it was pretty much charred. But
wow.
I wasn't burned, but I had a bunch of, because the landing strip itself is made of what's something called nonstick. It's just, it's basically like really, think of like stucco on the ground.
Okay.
And so my arms were pretty much scratched up. My helmet was all scratched up. I mean, they make you wear all the safety gear for that purpose, but I was completely tore up. And then when I landed in the net, I really banged up my back, so I had to be put on light duty for about a month and a half, and I had to get cleared by the doctors to go back on the flight deck again.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Did the guy that directed the jet engine, jet plane the wrong way go, my bad?
You know,
sorry about that, Ken.
I honestly went looking for him, and I never found him. No one ever wanted to give him up.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Debbie in Tustin. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, longtime listener. I love you guys.
Thank you very much. It's a miracle you're alive.
Yeah, so 20 years ago, I was driving in the rain on the 405 at the Carson exit. And it's a little higher than the trees that are kind of lining the air. Or actually, yeah, it's high. It says the treetops are right above the same distance as the freeway. So I hydroplaned in my truck, and my car landed on the top, fully suspended, all four wheels, on the top of a tree.
What?
And, yeah.
How is that possible?
I know. It was absolutely a miracle. And I was sitting in the car, you know, I was 19, and I'm like, I knew I was just going to die. I was, you know, praying to God that it wouldn't hurt. So landed in the trees and jumped out of my car because I figured it would eventually fall. So I jumped about, I don't know, what do you think, maybe 10 feet. And it never, ever came down until they actually had to pull it down with like a crane, I guess.
Wow, that's a stubborn car. That car's like, nope, I'm standing right here.
It was crazy. It was crazy. And I only ended up with just a bump on the back of my head. And it was a miracle. And this is before cell phones and all that stuff. So someone saw me on the freeway, and they came and got me, and they had orange juice in their car and a towel, and it was a real miracle.
What's awesome. Happening with you? When I got in my car accident, there was a stoner that said, "Hey, dude, you all right? You had a guy with orange juice. You
well,
win."
I did have a dead sticker. I did have a Deadhead sticker on the back of my car, so maybe that was actually funny.
Stuck on
that.
The top of a tree. That's crazy. Thank you, Debbie, and thanks for listening. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Cynthia in Alhambra. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
It's a miracle you're alive because?
Yes. Friends and I used to go and party at what's called Trestles. It's like the where the train goes over.
Yep.
And we were actually walking there, and then we saw a train coming, so we started to run across the railroad tracks. And I'm very graceful. I'm being sarcastic.
First of all, that's a good choice. Go ahead.
And I tripped. And when I tripped, I hit my forehead on the train trestle and fell 25 feet to a riverbed.
Oh my God.
And I just, and out of everything, I just had a cut on my forehead, and I did fracture my right femur.
Wow, that's crazy.
Unbelievable.
These stories are crazy.
Yep. And I kind of, I mean, everything's okay now, but I vaguely remember my 20s, so.
That's Same here, but for different reasons. All right. Thank you for the call, Cynthia. We appreciate it. I did see a car. I just remember this. I saw a car when I was in high school. I saw a car get hit by a train. Ooh. But he was just pulled up just over the tracks enough that the train hit it, and it flipped up in the air and around and then faced the other direction, and the guy just got out and was scratching his head like,
that was weird.
I didn't know what just happened. I'm not positive.
Wow.
Like, what are the chances of that? Let's go to Chris in Los Angeles. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's amazing you're alive because?
Because I was coming home from a Friday night with a friend, and we got hit, and we got T-boned, and I was in the passenger seat.
Ooh.
Well, I suffered a severed aorta. Multiple broken ribs on my right side, a broken rib on my left, a spinal fracture, I hemorrhaged, and I had a collapsed lung.
Holy crap.
Yeah, the funny part is that I didn't get to the hospital till 3 hours later. So both
parts
were totaled.
Yeah, what
happened in those 3 hours?
You're just wandering the streets trying to wave someone down?
It's kind of a mystery. So, you know, there was no cameras that were on the street. No
one saw
it. Isn't
the severed aorta? I'm not a doctor, but isn't the severed aorta?
I feel like maybe you bleed out a little bit.
I feel like maybe that's an issue.
Yeah, my surgeon calls me, you know, a miracle. Like, it's usually people with that injury die on impact. And I lasted for an extra 3 hours.
And you have no idea what happened during that 3 hours?
I don't remember. You know, apparently I went to another spot. You know, I'm no longer friends with a buddy in the car, obviously, but I got taken to another house, then I got taken to my house instead of the hospital.
Why were they driving you from house to house with a severed aorta?
Well, you know what? I had no physical injury, so, it's possible that I was running off adrenaline.
Oh, it was all on the inside.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then, so I get to the hospital, and even when I got to the hospital, they didn't admit me right away. They didn't take my vitals because I had no physical injury.
Nobody wanted to take care of Chris.
Poor Chris. Yeah.
Why does no one love you, Chris?
Yeah, and then so I had I ended up having heart surgery and have a stent in my aorta now. Yeah.
Wow, but you're alive.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. And thank you for the call. We appreciate it. I'm glad you made it through that. That sounds horrific. Let's go to Frank in Vernon. Hi, Frank.
Hello, hey, what's up?
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a miracle you're alive.
Yeah, I had a gun put on me, and they put it to my forehead. They pulled the trigger, and the bullet fell out. It misfired.
Were you in the Army? Was this a gang thing?
I had a girlfriend and two best friends that lived on the block, and there was a new gang that was trying to make a name for themselves, and they told me not to come on the block. When you tell me not to do something, I'm going to do it anyway. and so... They pulled the gun on me and told me, what am I doing on the block? I said, you know, whatever. And then they pulled the trigger. It misfired, and I didn't stick around for them to pull the trigger again. I was gone. I was out.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I feel like that's not your only brush with death. Am I right, Frank?
No, I went off a cliff in Mexico. When I went off a cliff in Mexico with my cousin 21 years ago almost, and when they brought me up, they said I should be dead, more or less walking and talking. My cousin died, though. R.I.P., Carlos.
Wow. I just can't.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. I don't know how to organize all that he was saying in my head. Austin in Simi Valley. Hi there. All right.
Good morning, guys.
Hi. It's a miracle you're alive. What happened?
Oh, my goodness. So I was coming home with a buddy of mine. We decided to take the train, and Metrolink decided to go run a light and go head on into a freight train.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty amazing. There was 175 of us on the train. 25 people died, and 150 of us walked away.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you have any injuries?
Yeah, I messed up 3 vertebrae in my lower back. You know, I'm actually still feeling it today, but, you know, life goes on.
You're lucky life goes on in that situation. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
I was a little stressed out yesterday thinking about all the Christmas shopping that I have to do. And, you know, everybody's kind of in the same boat right now. Is you got to start thinking about who you need to buy presents for and what are you going to get that's going to work for them, it's going to make them happy. And then I realized that the answer is on my fingertips. I've got the internet. I can just go to goop.com and just buy whatever Gwyneth Paltrow is selling this year.
Yeah, because it's so affordable.
Yes. Listen to this, Kevin. Do you want, for instance, shall I buy you the $8,300 yurt? Is that what you want?
I don't think that's the little tent lean-to thing, right?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
I don't think I need that, no.
Or do you need the $2,500 collector's edition razor? Yes, a razor for your face to shave with that costs $2,500. Perhaps you want that instead.
Instead of the razors that are super affordable and work just as well?
Instead of the ones that you could buy for under $4. Yes, exactly.
No.
So we wanted to find out more about what Gwyneth Paltrow with her site called Goop.com has for the holiday gift guide this year, because I think there's a lot of stuff out there for many of our listeners who are in the same boat we're in that are looking to buy some stuff for Christmas.
Goop, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop. Goop bag, goop bag, goop bag, goop, goop bag, goop, goop bag, goop, goop bag, goop bag, goop bag, goop.
See?
They have a theme song apparently Shoop. Also.
See, you get that? Because Shoop.
This is Lawrence Holloway. He is the spokesperson for Goop.com. Hey, Lawrence.
Please call me Lorenz.
Lorenz? I'm so sorry.
Thank
I didn't realize
you.
That. All right. Well, happy holidays to you. How are things over at Goop?
And festive holidays to you as well. Things are wonderful at Goop, as always.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the VP of Chic here at Goop.
You're the VP of Chic?
Yes.
What is that?
That's just the vice president of things that are stylish and wonderful and awesome.
Okay. All right.
I help put together our fabulous catalog every year.
Well, I got to be honest, a lot of people are kind of making fun of your catalog as being ridiculous this year.
Well, they're just dumb.
Well,
because,
are they?
First of all, Gwyneth is a goddess, and everyone here at Goop is dedicated to women and what women need, and we always cater to all women everywhere.
All okay. Women that have a tremendous amount of money, though.
Well, let's face it. People with money are better.
I'm not positive.
And so it's better to have money than not have money, and we like to cater to those women who are smart and stylish enough to be wealthy.
Okay, look, but it's not. You can be, I don't want to argue with you about how difficult
well,
it is.
Well, there's nothing to argue about because I'm right.
Okay, but there are a lot of wonderful women who are chic and stylish and intelligent that don't necessarily have enough money to buy a $3,000 leather bicycle from your site.
But how great would it be if they could? Wouldn't they be happier if they could?
It's just not realistic, though, for people. A lot of people don't. If they had the money, wouldn't spend $3,000 on a leather bicycle.
Have you ever sat on a leather bike?
No.
Oh,
no.
My God. It's like just a French kiss for your butt.
He doesn't know what that is either, though.
Oh.
Yes.
So, Lorenz, what sorts of things are you excited about in the Goop Holiday Catalog?
There's so many wonderful things. We've dedicated them into categories, depending on what person the gift is for.
Oh, okay.
We've got categories like hosts. If you're having a lot of people over, you need these things. Travelers. Health nuts, under 18, thinkers, cooks, all kinds of people.
Okay.
Okay.
And we have wonderful things like Dennis Hopper's record collection.
I saw that you're charging $150,000 for Dennis Hopper's record collection.
But it's over 100 LPs.
Right.
Right.
So
why $150,000 is insane for this.
But some of them are the Beatles.
Right.
You can download the Beatles or stream it for free right now.
But it's Dennis Hopper.
Right. He's an actor who
died.
He was
in movies.
Yeah, right, but it doesn't make the album any better.
But it's so cool to say to your friends, look, I have Dennis Hopper's Van Morrison album.
And then they'll say, who?
I'll say speed, pop quiz. Right?
Right.
All right. So what if I don't have $150,000? Surely
well,
you have something cheaper.
You're lucky
cheaper
today
for me.
Because we've just added some new items to the catalog.
Oh, great.
I haven't even made the website yet.
Okay.
So you get first dibs. Okay?
Okay. Dean will take whatever's first.
All right. First up, $1.7 million ant farm.
$1.7 million for ants?
Well, yes. It's 8.3 acres in Nantucket. It's an actual farm, and three of Gwyneth's aunts actually run the farm. And then we put the whole thing under glass, and you just get to watch them scurry around and work all day.
You put
that
the whole thing under
cool.
glass.
That sounds
educational
pretty cool.
for the kids.
That sounds that pretty
does
cool.
That actually sounds pretty
watch
cool.
Watch how these grimy aunts work, because Gwyneth won't give them any money.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Awesome. We also have, for $750,000, a banjo made of human skin.
Okay, now that's troubling.
Oh, it's not like we skinned a human. Don't be gross.
You said it's made of human skin.
It is. We went to Lana Del Rey's esthetician, and she exfoliated her feet for 3 years, and we took all of the extra skin and pressed it into a banjo.
That's a pretty hot banjo.
Right?
Right.
And it's never out of tune, naturally.
That is quite a custom item right there.
It is. For $85,000, you can get the Goop Nipple Smoker.
I'm sorry, a nipple smoker?
A nipple smoker. It makes your nipples healthy by putting a smoker on it, like you smoke meat.
Right.
And it makes them rosy and very plump, and also infuses them with delicious flavors. You can get mesquite, barbecue, or creamy ranch.
Okay. Now you're
Do
just
making stuff
Do people
need up. Barbecue nipples?
Seriously.
Lorette, is that something people are clamoring for?
Have you ever tasted a barbecue nipple?
I can't say I have.
Well, get that. Get on your leather bicycle and go over there and just okay. on a barbecued nipple.
Okay.
You'll be happier.
I will work on that.
For $87,000, we have a flatulence collector.
Oh.
Listen, you may not care about the planet, but we do here at Goop.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a new device that collects all your flatulence and then turns that natural gas into power. It's like a CPAP for your butthole.
Okay, all right.
And I'll have you know, it's just so popular amongst our celebrity clients.
Mm-hmm.
John Goodman's been using it for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And John Goodman's flatulence actually powers the Sears Tower in Chicago right now.
By itself?
Yes.
That's impressive.
It's from John. And then we also have, finally, the Gwyneth Paltrow Goop Poop Jewelry Collection.
I don't like where this is going.
This is Gwyneth's actual poop.
Oh, no.
That has been laminated.
No.
And then coated with gold, silver, or platinum.
Nope.
And you can get a necklace. You can get a bracelet.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have a vial pendant. It's just a glass vial filled with something after a rough night at Ernie's Taco House.
You're not sure what it is?
We're not, but it dangles nicely, and it looks wonderful. Just don't unscrew the top.
No, never.
That's a good safety tip.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Goop, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, bag, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, goop, bag, goop, bag, goop, bag, goop.
I liked Omar's wife, and I thought they were a great couple. And it's sad for me because
she's still alive.
They're divorcing.
They're not divorcing.
Couple.
It is. It's the end times.
It does sound like
you know what? We've had seven years, and you know it's been a good run. But I think it's the big D.
7 year itch.
DJ Omar Khan.
I'm not giving her the big D. That's the problem.
Yeah, maybe
you should stick around.
Maybe so.
DJ Omar Khan, who, by the way, is available for holiday parties. If you'd like to go to DJOmarKhan.com and hire him.
And for reasonably priced drugs.
Yes.
Because he now has a lot of free time now that he no longer has a family.
Absolutely.
He's one of these guys who married like his childhood sweetheart, and they've been together, you know, their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're being broken up over her love for organic produce. Now, that I know that sounds like a surprising reason for a couple to break up. But Omar, what's going on, and
listen,
how can we help?
Listen, I didn't sign up for this. And
I heard the other day bitching about the fact that your wife, Cassie, is buying organic foods.
Right, right.
I don't understand
and the downside for you. Do it. That's cool. But don't involve me. Don't make me. Don't try to make me go out of my way to shop at Sprouts and take more time into shopping. Like I don't enjoy shopping. I want to get in and get the produce because I do the grocery shopping in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it before I pick up my daughter, and I have about a half-hour window. So I'm in and out.
Okay.
And she wants me to drive out 20 minutes to drive to Sprouts and get all organic BS. And now I'm shampooing my hair with hemp shampoo.
It looks lovely, by the way. Your hair looks great. So whatever you're using, it's working.
It looks the same. And she goes to Costco and she brings these crackers that taste like ass. And she's all like, oh, there's no GMO. There's no gluten. You know what? Because there's no goodness in it.
Wow, you're upset about health.
She's trying to
save your life.
Listen, to feed your family healthy food.
But it tastes like ass. I want it good. I want food that tastes good. And you know what?
You have to strike a balance, Omar. You can't just eat, you know, candy corn all day long. You got to have some good stuff too.
Listen, we eat healthy enough. Okay, but I don't want to eat everything that's healthy and tastes bad. I want a balance. She's going a little overboard, and pretty soon she's going to start growing her armpit hair out and doing all that. And I didn't sign up for this.
I don't think there's any danger.
And by the way, the weirdest thing that happened, and this is when I started noticing, is that a couple of months ago, the carrots at our house are purple.
Sure, she buys purple carrots. Yeah. That's a thing.
Yeah, and I was like, what the heck is this? And she's just like, well, there's no GMOs, and you know, it's all organic. And I was just like, can I just get some orange carrots, some regular carrots?
Well, what's the difference between what color your carrot is?
Because it looks bizarre. It's just weird, and I don't know. I didn't eat it. So
You're raising three children.
I bought me some orange carrots. You know what?
You showed her.
You feel better?
I did. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Why don't you just paint the purple carrots orange and then, you know.
And I went shopping yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And
have you ever seen Omar as worked up about anything? As long as you've known him.
Not since Rachel Ray showed up in his box of Wheat Thins. No.
So I went grocery shopping yesterday, and I never really look at the prices. You know, I just buy what my wife tells me to buy.
Another good practice, okay? By the way.
And so the eggs she wants me to buy are the brown omega-3 organic eggs. Okay,
right. Free range.
Whatever.
Yes.
$5.99. Okay. The regular eggs are like $3.99. So that's $2 more. The cheese that now she wants me to buy, I love the Kraft cheese. My grilled cheese with the Kraft cheese. Okay?
That's not even cheese. You can barely even call it cheese.
I love that cheese. And she's like, oh no, it's processed, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, they got to process it somehow. She wants me to buy this Tillamook stuff. It's twice.
Oh, Tillamook's so good.
Is it?
Yeah,
it's twice as much.
Well, are you
the Kerry
sitting
Gold
in the
too,
corner to so nod on Velveeta? What is happening with you?
I love me some Velveeta.
Yeah, you do.
Listen, you know, there's some organic and natural foods and stuff that can be a bit of a stretch, but when it comes to food, meats, what the animals are fed and how they're raised, the processing, milk, absolutely, whether there's hormones or not. I mean, this is serious stuff, especially for your kids. I mean, these are real things you
have
to consider. I bet your kids drink a ton of milk, right?
I don't know.
If you're not getting the organic milk, like the Horizon organic milk, they're getting hormones
that's
things.
That's what she has me buy, the Horizon stuff.
And stuff that they, you don't want
and
your
she,
kids
she
to get.
She drinks the bogus, like, hippie almond milk, which I don't want any part of.
The almond milk is awesome.
It's so nasta.
It's not nasta, because nothing is nasta.
I'm telling you.
That's not even a word.
It is. It's gross.
But like almond and coconut milk mixed together, that's delicious.
That's puke city.
It's not.
Just
and it's not
give me
nasta.
The regular stuff. And then she wanted me to start buying the something called Kashi cereal for my kids.
Kashi.
I'm unfamiliar with that.
Whole grain cereal.
It tastes like dirt. It's whole grain dirt.
It's not
what
dirt.
It is. It's dirt and milk mixed up in one. And I was like, no, I don't want to take that away from my children getting up and eating some Lucky Charms or Trix or Cocoa Puffs.
No, you don't feed them the bowl full of sugar. That's not good for kids.
I turned out okay. We all
really
we
did
all,
you? Well, oh, did you, Omar?
Listen,
really?
Is this conversation proof?
Take a long, hard look at yourself, and you tell us how you turned out.
Well,
don't make us play Cuckoo Monkey Heat.
Omar, I think it's time for, and I am sorry to suggest this. I think it's time for separate refrigerators at home. I think it's time for your food and their food.
It's Bean's answer. Get the
secret fridge.
The little chocolate milk fridge.
Right. That's the answer. Bean has all the answers.
Look, how do you think I stayed there so long?
Oh crap! I'm on Team Bean.
Yeah.
I got problems.
Good luck with that. Frequent Kevin and Bean emailer Daryl writes in, organic, schmorganic, I ate all that crap growing up. This is a media-created bull-s storm, says Daryl. So he's not buying it, what Omar's wife is putting down.
Look, pesticides, hormones, these things are real. They're real. Mm-hmm. And to what degree they affect you, your health, I guess maybe that could be debated, but not having them is certainly better than having those elements in your food.
Well, as long as you're fine with Omar and his wife breaking up, then that's fine.
I am.
Yesterday on the show, Kevin brought us a story that I thought was fascinating about the NFL teams and their new, for this season, Twitter hashtags. They all come with their own emoji, and you see a lot of them on social media. And somebody had ranked the best to the worst, and I was really surprised where some of them fell. For instance, Kevin, your team is the Arizona Cardinals. What's your hashtag?
Be red, see red.
Terrible, right?
The worst.
Yeah. It's and just
no
stupid.
And no one would ever say it or use it.
No one says it. Right. It's not normal language.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them make sense. You know, hashtag Raider Nation. That makes sense. Hashtag Fly Eagles Fly. Hashtag Go Pack Go. I mean, these are things that fans actually say. So those are the ones that make sense. But some of them on here are just so unbelievably dumb. The Pittsburgh Steelers hashtag is hashtag Here We Go. How is that a thing? It's not a thing.
At least it's something people say. At least it's got that going for it.
I guess. True.
But a lot of these are just horrible.
So we did that. We talked about that yesterday. We kind of ranked it and made fun of it. Well, there's a follow-up. This doesn't happen often on the Kevin and Bean Show, but apparently the NFL heard us talking about it, and the social media director, Nick Glendon, wanted to come on the air, and I'm not sure why. I hope we're not in any kind of trouble. But, Mr. Glendon, it's a pleasure to have you on, sir. How are you?
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
So we cool, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's
just, okay, good.
We at the NFL did hear your segment on our hashtags,
okay.
And, because we do hear all and see all.
Right.
And we just wanted to get on the air and talk to you and say how proud we are, actually, of these 32 NFL team hashtags and how much hard work went into them and how many we rejected, actually, before we even got to these, which we all think were pretty much winners.
Wait, you rejected some before B red, C red?
Absolutely.
What?
Yeah, there were some awful ones there, and we really weeded those out and worked hard to get these, and everyone seems to like them. So I just wanted to let you guys know that this is the best of the bunch, quite frankly, before I go talking smack all willy-nilly.
Well, what are some of the teams that were difficult for you to decide between?
Well, as you mentioned, some are easier than others. The Raiders, the Eagles, some of the ones you mentioned, they have long-standing phrases that their fan base uses, so it was a slam dunk to put that in as a hashtag, but... others, they were much harder. For example, Atlanta. Atlanta, of course, which is...
Rise Up. You settled on Rise Up.
Rise Up.
That's great.
Originally, we were going to go with hashtag hotter than Andre Rison's house was when Lisa left I Lope set it on fire.
Wow. Very long.
Did you just find that too long? Or?
Too long, yeah. You put that in a tweet and you got nothing else. You got nothing for nothing else. So we had to let that one go.
That's a good memory for the team, though.
Carolina Panthers. Originally, we settled on Keep Pounding, but initially it was hashtag Keep Pounding and Wear Really Dumb Hats.
Yeah.
After their quarterback, of course, who shows up in the press room. Looking like a pimp.
He does look like he's at Alice in Wonderland or something most weeks.
Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
We had a lot of options for those. We finally had to settle on Dallas Cowboys, which isn't inspired or really imaginative.
It doesn't seem inventive at all.
But it was better than number two, which was hashtag tighter than Jerry's facelift, yo. I thought that was inappropriate.
That would have been controversial, I think.
Denver, which we want just hashtag Broncos. The runner-up was hashtag hung like thunder, which is the horse that runs out on the field when they score a touchdown. Some of the guys liked that one. We didn't care for it.
Okay.
San Francisco, there was hashtag taking a knee during most of their games, too.
Wow.
Fan base rejected that one outright when we did our testing, when we did our initial test.
You ran these by people?
Oh, we did, yeah.
Wow.
Some of them were suggested by the fan base.
Oh.
Green Bay, for example. We didn't go with this one, but it was the number one voted one by the fans. Hashtag Olivia Munn is our Yoko.
Oh, poor Olivia.
That was not our choice.
Not
that was
her
theirs.
Fault.
Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
Yes.
We settled on a hashtag, well, the one we settled on, of course, was Here We Are 12. Because of the 12.
We're 12, right.
However, the second one, the runner-up was hashtag Chew That Gum.
Right? Yeah. Why does he chew like that?
Oh, he's a committed chewer.
He sure is.
Strong chewer. New York Giants.
We almost went with hashtag Eli wears his heart on his sleeve and his IQ on his jersey. We opted out on that one. Buffalo, we almost went with hashtag Rex Ryan loves feet.
Oh man. Wow.
True, but not really inspiring.
Right.
Oakland Raiders, of course, went Raiders Nation. Was almost hashtag now with 17% less stabbings.
Well, put a positive spin on the experience at the stadium, right?
Philadelphia Eagles still almost went with this one. Hashtag Jesus's team, because of course it is.
Really?
You would think
Did you say Jesus's team?
Yeah. That's what Jesus said. That's not for us to decide.
Huh. That was in the Bible, right?
And of course, lastly, the New England Patriots.
Here we go.
Hashtag make America cheat again, which sounds great.
Should have gone with that one.